listen to that song, that I might become him by grace. Amen. There's only one way we were going to become him ever, and that was by grace. That was the way he was going to show us how much he loved us. That was the way he was going to give us life, that way, and that was the only way. And he went about bringing it to pass. And let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you open our eyes, Lord, and it's not our intellect and our flesh, Lord, that does it. Lord, it still tries to do things, but Lord, you have it in subjection, bringing it back where it ought to be. Lord, because the just live by faith, Lord. They're born by faith. They live by faith. It's everything, Lord, as we were just talking. By grace, by your love, Lord, is how we become you. And Lord, may you bless the word as we go through it and read it tonight, Lord. We believe, Lord, that this was your mouthpiece, and so we believe the words were your words. Lord, let them not only be your words, Lord, but we are a part of it, Lord, that you're interpreting. I pray you'll bring that to pass, not an intellectual understanding, Lord, but a bringing to pass, an expression, a manifestation, Lord, walking around. We pray now and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see y'all tonight. Since we last met, we're 3 days closer to this, to the consummation. We're 3 days closer to the consummation. You know, when I was 20 years old, 25 years old, I didn't think like that. I didn't think about that, about God's promises as a reality. I mean, this world was the reality, you know. And as I've become a Christian and grown into Christ, it's his world and his reality and his life that has become mine. And it's the all-consuming, and it's the driving, it's the ambition that we talked about last night, and it's, or the last few times. But it's just, the more you get in it, the more it just opens up. You know, remember Brother Branham used that analogy in Church Age's book. He talked about how that it's like one of those fireworks. I think he's called it a Roman candle. When it goes out, it's just one. And then it explodes and several more go off of it. And those that explode, several more goes off each one of those. And so he was talking about the revelation is that way. It just keeps going and keeps going. And a lot of times we think about revelation is that we understand that the message says this, and then it says this, then it says this, then it says that, and we think that's revelation. But revelation is when God does this, and God does this, and God does this, because that is what revelation really is. It's God unfolding himself. Did not Brother Branham say the entire Bible was the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now look, we took a series on that about God's Bible and how he was bringing. But it's not just those people, brother and sister. It's not just the ones that were under Brother Branham's message. It's us too. It's every one of his children, wherever they are. God is revealing it. And, you know, we should get up every single day expecting him to reveal it. And when I'm talking about revealing, I'm talking about us. Run us. Make us. Walk us. Do whatever, you know. And he will. Because that, when it says, you know, we think, sometimes we hear that, if my word abides in you, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then ask what you will. We think, oh, we believe that, so it must abide in us. But if it abides in you, you're expecting those things to happen. He's your healer. He's your provider. What's that song we sing? Jehovah Jireh. And it's got all the different names of Jehovah. He's all those things. And he is going to reveal those in our lives. And so that's a little bit sort of like what we were wanting to talk about tonight. You see the little subtitle there. Knowing the word is written about you. And so, you know, the three Hebrew children knew that God was their deliverer. They had the names of Jehovah. And they knew what that meant. And they knew he was that to them. But they weren't telling him how to do it. They were just believing it and letting him manifest it the way he wanted to. Brother and sister, that is when the word abides in you and you abide in him. If you're abiding in him, you're not trying to direct him ever. I want this, Lord, give me this. Ever. See, because we Brother Ram said, always pray whatever his will is. He's your healer. Let him heal you how he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it. So just bring it that way. And so let's start out. And I might go a little slow here the first couple, maybe 2.5 pages. And then we have something there in the middle I want us to read. And then we might take our time a little bit more at the end. But I'm getting into a bit of hurry. And I feel like I'm doing just what I said don't do just now. Don't get in a hurry. And so we come here not so you can hear Chris say something. We come here because we want something out of this message. And I feel like he put this on my heart. And so let's see what he wants to say about it. Not what Chris wants to say about it. So this is an Ephesians church age book. And he's reading this first scripture. Thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. My, what a blunt statement, Brother Bram says. Thou hast tried them who call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right has a people to try those who call themselves apostles? Who has that right? He said. And how do they try them? Who has the right to pronounce them not apostles and try them as apostles? And how are they doing it? Oh, I love this. Here it is in Galatians. Brother Bram said, if there's ever a Bible question, there's a Bible answer. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. So, Brother Paul there is setting up a standard. Because we remember what we read this last time. Brother Bram said that Paul humbly submitted himself to the word and God manifested it. And you see, Paul knew that. And you see what Paul's saying here. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. Because who done it? God done it. And Paul knows that. And that's the only reason he can say that. Not because he has some vindiction. Not because he has some mental understanding. He can say it because God did it. And he knows God did it. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change. Not even a dot or a dash of it. It's why it had to be restored first before the seals could be opened. Not even a dot or a dash of it. Paul knew it was God who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation. Paul's saying, if I come and try to change what I've already said, try to make one little change in what I give originally, let me be accursed. Because he said, if anyone says something different than what I've already preached. Mm-hmm. So he's including himself in there too, is what Brother Brown's doing. You see, Paul knew that first revelation was correct. God can't give a first revelation, then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. He can give a revelation and then add to it. Now listen to this. As he did in the Garden of Eden, when he promised the seed to the woman. He said, thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. And many times we've heard Brother Branham point out that the woman doesn't have a seed. And so he's saying this is a revelation that was given to Eve. Or it wrote out there in the Bible. When he promised the seed to the woman. Remember that's the capital seed. Because we know the only one going to bruise the head of the serpent is Christ. Promised the seed to the woman. And then later designated that seed. That same promised one he told Eve was going to bruise the serpent's head. Now he's given that same promise to Abraham. The I am. And then later designated that seed had to come through Abraham. And then later said it would come by the same bloodlines in David. But it was a revelation. All three times it was a revelation. Now listen, it wasn't just words somebody said and somebody said, yeah, that's right. No, it was God doing something. See, every one of those was God doing something. When he told Eve, thy seed shall bruise it. And then he went about bringing about that seed. And he come to Abraham and he give Abraham that revelation. That was God bringing that seed. And it was the faith seed. Remember, the royal seed is the faith seed in God's faith. So he gave that seed through Abraham, had to come through Abraham, and later on said it come by the same bloodlines as David. And you go down there and you look at those bloodlines and you look how God went out here and got Ruth and brought her into that bloodline. Went out here and got Rahab and brought her into that bloodline. You look how he was doing that. If you go look, David's great-grandmother on either side are those girls, those women, those sisters. That's who they were. God bringing this. And we know it wasn't the fleshly bloodline, but it was still, this is what God was doing. But it was the same revelation. It only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it. See, it just, as God unfolded it. Remember what we said in this last service? Brother Ram said he had that revelation, that mystery hid in the back of his mind, and he slowly unfolded it down to right now, in this day. That's what he's talking about right here. It's the same thing. He's gradually making that revelation greater from Eve to Abraham on down to Christ. The seed came exactly as revealed. Hallelujah. But God's word can't change. The seed came exactly as revealed. See there? That's what I'm talking about. The prophet said something, then God did it. Prophet said something, God did it. Prophet said something, God did it. Over and over and over. It was all God. Because God gave them something to say. He inspired the word, then he quickened the word. Inspired the word, he quickened the word. Inspired the word, quickened the word. It's always been that way. He's been bringing that seed that he was going to bring all the time. The seed came exactly as revealed. It came exactly as it was revealed. Remember what we said? Revelation, interpretation, brings it to pass. And see, hallelujah, and see what those false apostles were doing? They were bringing their own interpretation. And God was revealing exactly what they were. They came with their own word. Those Ephesians knew that word as Paul had taught it. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And he's picking best up about trying those that were apostles and finding out they were liars. And he's picked that thought back up now. Talking about the Ephesians. They were full of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of Paul's hands. They looked those false apostles in the eye and said, you are not saying what Paul said. You are therefore false. You see that? God in them showed them that it was not right. Oh, that sets my heart on fire, Brother Branham says. Get back to the Word. It is not you that really tries the apostle and prophet and teacher. It is the Word that tries them. So only as the Word in them tries and knows God, that's the only way they can be tried. One of these days, there is going to come a prophet to the Laodicea church age, and you will know if he is the real one sent from God or not. You will know. Now, what about that word, Brother Branham has spoken here? He's the mouthpiece of God. He's the prophet. And he just told me, I'm going to know who sent from God. Now, does that word abide in us? Do we abide in him? We took and we believed the word and God quickens it. Remember what we talked about Job this last time? Job just kept standing on the word, kept standing on the truth. And Brother Branham said, God come and quickened it. One of these days, there is going to come a prophet to the Laodicea church age. And you will know if he is the real one sent from God or not. Yes, you will. For if he is of God, he will be in the Word exactly as God gave it to Paul. He won't deviate from that Word for a moment, not one iota. In the last age, when there will be many false prophets appearing, and watch and see how they keep telling you if you don't believe them. See, all these false prophets saying, if you don't believe them and what they say, you will be lost. But when that last day prophet comes on the scene, if he's truly that prophet, he will be crying out, get back to the Word or you are lost. You see, God is interpreting this one. He's not interpreting the other ones. Let me correct that. The Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, is falling on all seed, and it brings forth whatever is in it. And so, what I'm saying is that's not God acting and doing. That's God showing what that is. Get back to the Word, or you are lost, brother. Is that not what we heard? It is exactly what we heard. We won't build on a He won't build. God won't. See, now he's telling you what's wrong with them false prophets he just talked about. One sentence above or two. He won't build on a private revelation or interpretation, but on the Word. See, so God is only going to use, he's going to use the prophet and he's going to say it and do it. Now, there's a little something hid there, and we're going to hit it here in just a minute. But he's talking about building on the Word. And what did we spend some time this last time talking about? You as part of the Word. We're all his children are part of the Word. And so that's what he's going to build on. That. Look, notice we're going to go into a new message here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And y'all have to excuse me if I sound like I'm getting out of breath a couple times. I ate something at lunch and it didn't agree with me, so. But the Lord will take care of me. So y'all be praying for me. 2:33. Look, Christ in you makes him. Christ being in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. You're the revelation. And him being in you makes him the one that's doing it. He's the center of life of the revelation. He's where it's coming from. He's going to just keep pinning that down, see? Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. See, him, his life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. See, you can just, people read the Bible all day long, but without Christ in it, they don't see nothing but intellectual arguments and fusses and denominations and everything that we got. And it's just, he's saying here no different than what the scripture says when he said the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they watched Jesus go and do and bring to pass what was written in the Bible about him. And they didn't see it. They didn't see it at all. But in that little woman, she saw it. So Christ in the Bible made that little woman see it, and the others couldn't see it. Makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. But that ought to shake us. Think about that statement. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do. Christ in you, what he's doing, making you the revelation of the whole thing. Don't miss that, brother and sister. Go back and read that. Study on that. Pray on that. Tell the Lord, ask the Lord to put that in your heart. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you've done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules. Too much of that in the message. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And brother, we're not talking about part of it. We're not talking about in Luther's age when it was part of it revealed to him. We're not talking about that. He's talking about all. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. You see that? Christ in the individual is what the church is built upon. It's not built upon anything else but Christ in you. That's what it's built upon. People's tried to build it out of everything else under the sun. You build it under this man's understanding. You build it under this person's Holy Ghost. It's God in you. That's how the church is built. And he doesn't give one revelation and one another. He doesn't do it. It might be, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you that is the revelation that the church was built upon. You say, well, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. That don't mean that to God. Not a thing, not a snap of your finger. That don't mean nothing to him. What is it? It's Christ being revealed. See, it doesn't matter anything about what you think is happening. It's when God is doing it. That is it. It's Christ being revealed. And he is the word. And when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. Now, it can't get much plainer than that, can it? And what word do we believe we have in this hour? We believe the seals come open. The mysteries that's been hid since the foundation of the world, the mystery that was in the back of God's mind that has unfolded down to this hour, that's what we believe is in us. And if that's in us, think about what's happening right now. Right this moment, brother and sister. God Almighty is expressing the fullness in his people. That ought to shake people. It expresses itself. When the word is revealed, it expresses itself. See? That's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself, to make his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. And Christ, God, died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only the word of God and not swap it. Amen. Like Eve did, for intellectual conceptions of man. He's just bringing it down the line so clear. You see it. That's Christ's idea. That's God's idea. The new birth reveals this. Reveals what he just talked about. Reveals this bride that won't swap the word for anything. He's revealing that. God is revealing the people, the individuals that won't swap it for anything. Their womb is sealed. There's no changing them. There's no backing them up. There's no taking them off the rails. They're sealed in. The new birth reveals this. And if a man says he is born again and try to place these promises of Christ in the last days to some other age, if you say you're born, what did he just say? The new birth reveals this truth that he was just talking about. And then he goes on down and he says, if a man says that he's born again, we just talked about the new birth, he's saying, and then try to place these promises of Christ in the last days to some other age. He's going to tell you when a person's born again how they're going to act. And this ain't it. They're not going to act this way. To try to place these promises of Christ in this last day to some other age, making him Christ yesterday, but not today. If you try to place the word for today to another day, you've made it of no good. Making him Christ yesterday, but not today. Then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, he just let it sit. Let you think about it. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe into all the world and to every age. Casting out devils, speaking with tongues, and all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, that they shall, not they may be, they ought to, they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So it's Christ expressing himself in the individual. You see why Paul said what he said then? Because he knew that that was Christ expressing himself in him, because he was the mouthpiece. And that's why he could say that if any man says anything that I didn't say, says something different, then let him be accursed. That prophet, messenger of the age. Now, what about ours? What about our prophet, messenger of the age? So it's Christ expressing himself in the individual. And think, brother, we're outside the church ages and this message comes. And he come outside the church ages because it can't be a denomination. It can't be any word off. It's got to be the fullness. So it's Christ expressing himself in the individual. Whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know it, see? But they knowed Christ. Now listen to this. This really struck my heart. They never taken heed to Peter and John knowing they had been out of some seminary. They said they taken heed and noticed that they had been with Christ. Think about that. They noticed he'd been with Christ. They didn't see him hanging out with Christ. They noticed he acted like Christ. They acted like Christ. See, they could recognize that. God could point that out to them. You see God revealing and bringing it to pass. When they healed the lame man, see, at the gate, they knowed they had been with Christ. The new birth is Christ. And he says it so plain. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. What great mystery is he talking about? What is the message? Christ's the mystery of God revealed. And remember, we hit on that this last service, how he talked about how that in that last service, that mystery that he had in the back of his mind, and he'd been unfolding down to this moment. That is the new birth he's talking about, brother. That ought to strike people's hearts right there. It's the new birth. That's the birth of this age. No other age could have that birth. And he's standing right in the pulpit telling people for the world over who wants to listen. And people trample all over this and say, oh, it was the new birth Paul had. It was this and it was that. When he just got through saying that God unveiled and unfolded this mystery that was in him down to this very moment. And that is the revelation, the new birth of Christ. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? Why? Because every last one of them has the same God in them, revealing the same thing to them. And God expressing it, God, look, they're in harmony because God is expressing through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest. God did it back there. God's doing it now. Oh, if the church only knew its position. That's what we've been talking about tonight, brother and sister. This position. It will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, Brother Branham, but that ain't, oh, yes it is, too. It is the truth. So somebody wanted to argue with him about the rapture there and what will bring it. Did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? Paul never knew him. The only way that Paul knew him was by a revelation. By a vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation, just like Peter did. Peter had seen him in the flesh. He'd sat and ate with him. He'd hugged him. He'd done all these things with him. But he didn't know him by the flesh, because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Isn't that beautiful? Who in the world would have dug that out but God Almighty in these last days? And to think about it, they've had this word for 2,000 years and nobody brought that. Nobody brought that out. You see why Satan's against it. It's the truth, brother and sister. It's not some silliness that they try to make it out to be. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. Me going around here and doing these things, that didn't do it. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you, that he is the word of God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. Man walked and handled him and everything else. Amen. All right, so we're going to slow down. Not slow down, but I'm not going to bear down quite as hard. We're going to just relay this that he talked about in this. I thought it went with this pretty good, and then we'll pick back up. Y'all might get out a little early tonight. I don't know. We'll see. Here not long ago, a minister was saying that he was down in Florida, and he had him a car. I believe it was a Chevrolet. And the thing went out on him, and he couldn't get it fixed. And he went into the garage, and a little old mechanic was going under it and over it and pecking around, and he couldn't get it fixed. And he would try this, and it wouldn't work. And he'd try something else, and it wouldn't work. He'd put on a generator, put on this, put on plugs, put on points. He couldn't make the thing work. He just couldn't make it work. Can you just see that little fella trying his best to get this thing fixed? Finally, a nice dressed man stepped up and said, "May I give you some advice?" And the little mechanic had enough sense to say, "Yes, sir." He said, "You take this and times this and this, and then put that together once and try it." He took this times that and put it together, and there she went. This guy had been working on it all this time. Now, look at what he's pointing out, the efforts of the man. The little mechanic turned around and said, "Say, who are you?" He was the engineer, General Motors chief engineer. He made the thing. He knows every little thing about it, the way it's going, its little hiccups, when it does this, what's causing that. He knows everything about it. If you're an engineer, if you've never done any kind of engineering, you know it. And Michael's wrote script. I'm sure that Michael knows in certain parts of his script that he's wrote, there might be these little places where in certain cases, if the data's a certain way, then it don't work. And he's got little things there that he does to catch it. All programmers do that. Whenever something is running and you're writing these instructions telling it what to do, you know there's certain places where there's going to be problems because you made it. You're the one wrote it. And that's what this man done. He's the one made this car. So he knew exactly what was going on when he heard how it was doing. And today, when we're talking about Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian, there goes the little mechanic pecking around. That's when we're talking about those. The chief mechanic is here. The designer of his word. The man who created the heavens and earth and designed his church. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Or does the Methodist or Baptist church know more about what it takes? He is the designer. He knows what it takes. He's well dressed in the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. He is walking among us today. Chief mechanic, the one who created it all, is walking among us today. How many times has Brother Bram said, just as real as he was back there? He is walking among us. I mean, how can you come with the thing spearheading your ministry is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and your ministry not be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? He'd have to be everything that Christ had ever been for that to be what God put in his mouth. He knows what it takes to put a church in rapture order. He designed it and put the parts together here in the Bible. Now, what did we just talk about? Rapture and faith and that other scripture. Go home and study those. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. Let faith in his promised word of today flow through. You'll see how it operates. Why? He designed the thing. He designed his church by the word. That's what he puts together. Not by. That's what he puts together. You see that? Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by his word. That doesn't mean he doesn't use men. I've never ever thought that he doesn't use men. That would be the craziest thing in the world for somebody to be preaching this message and say that God don't use men when you look in the Bible and for 6,000 years he's used men. Not by Methodists, but he's talking about God doing it in the man. That's what he puts together. Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by his word. Man shall not live by bread alone. We got another message. I don't know if it be the next one or the next one. We're going to hit this, Lord willing, really hard. Man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, sir. Get out of them glares. in the midst of the darkness. Now, you think about this message. Let me go back and see what the title was. I forgot. There's a man you can turn on the light. So just a couple nights later is when the eclipse come and the moon was blacked out. And it was in the paper. And it showed the seventh stage blacked out. Laodicea. And then Brother Branham comes and preaches Shalom. And talks about the sun, the light being that there's light. Even though there's darkness on the people, that there is light. That Christ is here. Now, this is just leading up to that. Is what he was talking about. If I can find my place again here. What paragraph was I on? Do y'all remember?
59 is what you were ready for.
Okay. I'm sorry. Get out of them glares. In the midst of the darkness, this dark time that we're living in now, just got about 5 minutes or more left. In the midst of darkness, who is going to bring the little bride out? Because we're in the midst of darkness. Who knows about it? The chief designer knows. Oh, yeah. From all the confusion of glare. Now, I took out a little bit there to save time. Like I said to that priest, if you all are the original church and you went after the doctrine of these men set together at Nicaea, why is it you haven't got the power that they had back there in the beginning then? If that's what you're preaching, what they decided was the truth at Nicaea, that's what he's asking this Catholic priest, then why don't you have this same power if it was the truth? See, why don't you do the things that they do, which Jesus said? Oh, we are more people now, and we're living a different age. Listen to nonsense coming out of this man's mouth. Knows nothing about God. I said, but the word doesn't change. He said, these signs shall follow them to all the ages. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never. That's it. He said, well, you're talking about a Bible. Listen at it. Knows nothing about God. I said, yes, the word, which is Christ. That's right. And so there you are, see? And in this glare, in that mess, the Methodists showing theirs. The Baptist showing theirs, the Presbyterian theirs, each one growing bigger and bigger all the time. The poor little bride, where's she at? She run over here at the Pentecostal Oneness a while. She put her name on there. She say, well, come to find out, look what they do. And they come over here and said, you got to belong to us. If you don't belong to our church, you're not even in the bride. You're not even nothing. You don't belong to their church. Go over here at the assemblies and look what they got. There you are again. Go down to the Baptist. Look what they got. Look at the Presbyterian. What's going to happen to the poor little thing? See? But she is coming forth. Don't you worry. She is going to be there. A fella was saying here a couple years ago, he was down in New Mexico. I held a meeting there close to Carlsbad Caverns. And you've heard of them down there. And they took a man and his wife and a bunch of children and went on this elevator, went all the way down to the very bottom of the pit. And when they got down there, they turned all the lights off. And when they turned off the lights, all the lights off, it was midnight dark. I had them to do that over here in the gardens here. And at one time, and over here in Colorado, their wife and I back there was in there. And they turned them lights off. But you put your hand like this, you couldn't see nothing. Now he's describing what's going on in this pitch black darkness of the denominations and man's idea ruling the world like that. And there was a little girl standing there, And she began screaming. Oh, screaming. She was scared to death. It was so dark. The poor little thing was grabbing everywhere and trying to scream and holler for her papa and mama everywhere. She just couldn't stand it. It was so dark. She'd never seen such darkness. And this little girl standing there, she was screaming top of her voice, about to go into hysterics, about like the little bride is. But you know what? Her little brother cried out and said, "Little sister, don't fear," because he was standing right by the engineer and said, "There's a man here can turn on the lights. Don't fear, little sister." Look where he stepped when he said these words. He stepped into that place. And look, he was standing between the little sister and the engineer. Remember when we talked about the engineer a while ago, who that was? And look what he stood there and started saying there. He stood between the little sister and the engineer and started talking. "Don't fear, little sister. There is a man here who can turn on the light. He can make this word live. We don't know how he's coming. We don't know how, when he's coming. I don't know nothing about that, but he is here." Praise the Lord. "And he can turn on the lights. How we're going to get out of it, I don't know, but he's here. And he's the one that can turn on the lights." He's the one. The little brother saw the man. He's standing right beside the man. He saw the light switch, and he knows the man can hit the switch. And he's saying, "I don't know how he's going to do it or when he's going to do it or anything else, but I know he's going to do it. I know he is. Don't fear, little sister." He's talking straight to the bride. "Yes, sir. He is the one. He is the light. He just makes himself known. That's how he turns on the light." My goodness. People. If that ain't God interpreting his word by bringing it to pass, I don't know what it is. Or you look at these messages. And I think the next one was the flashing red light of his coming. And then he goes and that stuff happens with the eclipse. And then he starts with Shalom. And he goes into these other messages. He throws up the rock within just a couple of months and says judgment. Right after the age is blacked out in the sky. And then he's saying these things. He just makes himself known. That's how he turns on the light. Wow. Exactly right. It takes Christ to flash away his lights. Then all the darkness scatters. He separates. He is pulling his little bride out. "I'll take a people out of the Gentiles for my name's sake, and it'll be my name." What is his name? All right. Not Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. It's Jesus Christ. That's right. Amen. So let's go to this next part of the message here. And to me, this is like putting icing on the cake here because it's so good. It's so good. To know, brothers and sisters, we're not just reading about something happening and taking place. We're reading about something that's taking place to us right now. If we're abiding in him and he abides in us, he'll do whatever he wants. Ask what you will. Your will. But Brother said, you don't know what your ambition is. Because he's going to give you ambition. He's going to give you will. Look what we're seeing. Look what we've seen in this day. Now we're over in. It's the rising of a sun. This day. The quickening power has come to us. To open the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of a man? Now, I want you to take and kind of look at this in a parallel, what he was talking about, Paul not saying anything that he didn't already say. And he's talking here, this wasn't intelligence of a man. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with great words and things of wisdom, And this is what he's asking, almost the same thing. The quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of a man? The opening of the seven seals. What is it? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God. And where does the quickening power come to? The Word. The quickening power come and quicken the Word. That's what the seven seals opening was. No, the quickening power of the Word. See, the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. What he just talked about. The opening of the seven seals. The things that are happening in that day. See, the quickening of the power of God foretold this would take place. See, the quickening power of God made the Word testify to it. Made the world testify to it. Now, look, here's what he's saying. This is really good. The quickening power of God made the world testify to this truth that was prophesied was going to happen. The angel of the Lord, I told you, was around in a pillar of fire, quickening power, let the world testify that it's the truth. Now, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? The world testifying that it was the truth. And in that, they didn't know what it was. And we knew. Just look this away. And it's our Lord up there, you see. Now, he's talking about the picture of the cloud. And when they turned it, he said, the quickening power made that. And it caused them to testify to it. It's our Lord up there, you see. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. For the whole Word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. Christ was opened, brother and sister. Why? How could he nail it down anymore? What is the opening of the seals then? Revealing Christ. And the very seven angels, which represented the seven churches, all completed, and we couldn't even see it. They did. They took the picture, not us. We couldn't take it. You know what I'm saying? None of them took the picture. Somebody else took it. And it has the picture of all the church ages completed. That's what he's calling all those angels there, which represented the seven church ages all completed. And we couldn't see it. They did. They took the picture, not us. And there he is, standing there, supreme judge. And now look what he just called it. That picture represented the seven church ages all completed. And goes right down here and says, and there he is, standing there, supreme judge. That's why it represented them all completed. Because when is he the judge? When this is over. And there he is, standing there, supreme judge, showing that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What identification. Quickening power did that to us. Quickening power lets us see his coming. Quickening power snatched us from death to life. Quickening power gives discernment to know what's wrong with you and what to do, what you have done and what you ought not have done, and what you should have done and what you will be. Quickening power, all those things. Oh, Lord Jesus is so full of quickening power. Our Lord Jesus is so full of quickening power. He was all of it together. He was so full of quickening power. He said, this, you destroy this body, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Talk about confidence in quickening power. Destroy this body, and I'll, this temple, and I'll bring it up in 3 days. Why'd he say that? He knew that it was written of him. He waded right into the middle of all of them and said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. Think about that. Because he knew that it was written about him. You talk about knowing the word, brother and sister. Knowing his time. Moses knew that he was supposed to be the deliverer. But then he tried to make it happen. And it took all this time before then God got his attention. And God made it happen. Why'd he say that? He knew that it was written of him. And brother and sister, what about the message that the prophet gave us? Do you know that it's written about you? Every last word of it is to you. See that it was written of him by the word of God, which could not fail. The word said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. And he knowed that quickening power would raise him up, that there wouldn't be one cell corrupt. He said, you destroy this temple, and I'll bring it back again in 3 days. Why? It was the prophecy. It was prophecy, the word of God. That prophecy, as God quickened it in Christ, he spoke out those words. It was prophecy, the word of God. And prophecy, if it's true word of God, cannot fail. And the same prophecy and word of God that said he'd raise him up says that we're already raised with him. No wonder he said, fear not. And it is written that the spirit that is now was in him, now in us, also quickens our mortal body. Fear not, friend. The S-O-N is up. The S-O-N, the sun, is up. And I believe that the Lord don't change my mind. That's where we're going to start, right in that same message about the sun being up. We might go back and pick up a little bit there where he talked about the light, the evening light. In the middle of gross darkness, there's light, when he preached in Shalom and some of those other messages. But be praying for us. And we just continue to praise him. I can't think of anything greater than the message. Doesn't matter what the flesh has to go through. Doesn't matter. You know, I was thinking the other day when Brother Branham lost his wife back there, and he tried to kill himself twice, tried to kill himself. You think about the pain and distraught that he was going through, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't change what was written about him. There was so much written about this last day messenger, and it had to happen. And no matter what he'd done, he couldn't change it. No matter what Moses done, he wasn't going to change it. It was still going to happen. It didn't matter that Elijah cursed those children. Brother Bram said he had to pay for that. It didn't matter that, what did he say, he ran from Jezebel or something like that. It didn't matter. He was still the prophet. And the things written about him was still going to happen. And so my point is this, that God is doing it. Let's let him do it. Let's be that bride that he talked about, that wouldn't swap the word for nothing. And the only thing we can do that is when we're born of the word of this age. So let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I so thank you for your word, Lord. It means so much. It is so good to read it. It's so good to know that it's true. And Lord, we're living in this hour where it's quickened, Lord. It's changing your bride and changing people that come in contact with it. This message has soul-changing power, Lord. It has that quickening to bring about that bride that we talked about tonight. And Father, we're so thankful to be a part of it. May there, if there's another one within our reach, Lord, within our the hearing of our voice or our brothers and sisters' voices or wherever, Lord, may it be reached. May they come in, Lord, as an individual, Lord, who is married to you and in perfect harmony, Lord. May you lead us, bring us back together again next week. Pray you'll be with Emily, Lord, whose side's been hurting and it's been to the doctor, Lord. You knew for the foundation of the world. Let her realize, Lord, as the word of this hour, Lord, just stand there and trust you, Lord. Each one of us for any needs that we have. And Father, may you go with us on our way home tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And I think I requested this last time, but Jehovah Jireh, Michael, come sing that one again.